Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Goldfish Commander podcast. Whoa, boy, what a start. Screwed it up already. Morgan, edit this part out. Let's go again.
Oh, don't.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander Clash podcast. I, Tomer, am the host today, and we are going to be doing 2026 New Year's resolutions. First podcast of the year. Obviously, we got to get our resolutions out of the way. Seth is absent, as you can see, because I'm hosting right now. He is busy doing Lorwyn previews and whatnot as that stuff is rolling in. But today I am joined with my other two co-workers, aka co-hosts, in Phil Brewer's Kitchen and Krim, aka the Asian Avenger. What do you guys think about resolutions this year? Do you think you're going to be as successful as last year's resolutions?
Oh, God.
I wasn't the last year's
remember what episode. My...
so oh, yeah.
What was my resolution of last year? Oh, God. I have no idea.
Well, we're going to find out how effective we were last year, and then we'll jump into this year's resolutions. But first, we have some ads to read. Today's show is brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution for flattening your foils. The two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards, and Foil Armor will absorb and release moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put a pack into your storage box to keep your cards flat forever. Head on over to foilarmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. Today's show is also brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. Are you tired of all the hassles involved with buy-listing your cards? Well, Card Conduit lets you skip all the typing, time, and work. With a curated service, you can send in as many cards as you want with buy-list value $1 or more, and you'll pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to put in a bit of effort, you can use their sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay only a 2% fee. No matter which option you choose, you'll get a detailed report with the result and fast payment once your order is processed. Oh yeah, and you can get another 10% off by heading over to www.cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish. One take, bam, nailed it. All right, my goodness, I even tried to do the easiest as Seth does it. Hope we enjoyed that. All right, so yes, 2026 resolutions. Phil, you weren't here for last year's resolutions, but I do have the results for me and Krim. Krim, do you remember what your resolutions from last year were? Do you need a reminder?
Which probably tells you how good I did at whatever I said.
Well, let's see. In last year's resolutions, you see, you had forcing Richard's hand. So this is when Richard was back on Commander Clash. So you were forcing his hand more often. That's resolution number one. Resolution number two, actually playing combo. And then the third one was shutting up because I pull more aggro if I talk. Let's talk about that, Krim. What do you think about, how do you think you did last year on forcing Richard's hand, playing more combo, and shutting up?
Well, I would say I was mostly right, successful on the Richard part because he wasn't here this past season, except for maybe the few games that he did show up. Mm. I think I did okay. I didn't do any of the shutting up, and I definitely don't think I played a single combo last year.
I don't have a single combo either. I think shutting up would be working against you too, because I feel like you definitely politicked your way into like an incredibly impressive win percentage that year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I did yap, and that yapping somehow managed to get me out of a lot of hairy spots. And this year, you know what's funny? This season that is, we've been filming recently, I've been, believe it or not, shutting up a little bit more and dying a lot more. So maybe you're right. Maybe I need to uncork that one and time to yap again.
All right, so we could just say 0 out of 3 for resolutions there, or maybe 1 out of 3, the Richard one.
Yeah, how about a 0.5? I'll take 0.5 out of 3.
Sure. And then as for me, I had play less aggro, play more budget, and go arch enemy. I wanted to embrace being the problem, being less aggressive, and play more budget decks.
Were you the non-budget player last season?
I call shenanigans on that, first of all, because we weren't using like the median or something. And,
I don't know, dude.
A couple decks, like one or two decks skewed it by a lot, but whatever. Yeah, I should have
said more budget. I don't know, dude. All I see is the score sheet and the stat sheet here. Okay, dude.
But I play like 90% aggressive red deck, so I failed miserably there too. And go arch enemy? I don't think I did. I think I failed miserably on all of these things. Dang.
Isn't that the point of a New Year's resolution, though?
It's true.
To just like, it's like
going
to
the
you know?
Gym, right? You say, yeah. Like, this is going to be the year.
January 1st, every gym membership is flying off the shelves. Gyms are fully packed. The second week of January, ghost town at the gym.
I know Phil can't relate, but
yeah,
did you have any resolutions last year in terms of like how you were approaching Commander differently, Phil?
No, and they would have probably been similar to my new resolution.
Play more token decks.
Yeah. That was my resolution, and oh boy, did I nail it.
Nailed it. All right. Well, that was last year, but that was the past. Now we're looking at a fresh start with 2026. We have a full year ahead of ourselves to play Commander and have new resolutions. So let's kick it off with Phil. What is one of your 2026 New Year's resolutions for Commander this year?
Okay, I gotta say it. I have to admit it. I have to play more removal. On Clash in specific, I filled in a couple of episodes ago, and Morgan having removal was so key to the story of the game, and it would have ended, I think, multiple times otherwise, that maybe I should put 1.5 more spots/flexible removal spell in my decks. I'm
Does
not
that mean
overdo
it's like
it.
Now up to 2? Like,
I mean, I play swords and something
you do play
like
swords.
Maybe like unexplained absence or something. That although this one usually doesn't make it make the cut anymore. So maybe I should play at least bring back these more. Yeah, we'll see. But that's I got it. Maybe something.
I hope not
flexible.
Too much though.
No.
One thing that scared me is like when Seth. We all after last season were like, Crim just absolutely destroyed us, and we saw two things. First, Crim's insane win rate, and then two, Crim's crime rate compared to all of us was like basically equal to the rest of all three of us combined, which was staggering. Insane. So we were all like, you know what? We're all going to run more removal. And Seth really took this to heart. And it's scary now. Like, now I'm like terrified of Seth because he's like destroying sometimes. And Phil, please just like run 2 more, not like.
Don't worry.
Like 6.
It's
I don't know. Tomer's
to
win rate is
this.
Probably the highest, right? From this season. So, you know, I'm just going to say that stat looks bad that I had a high crime rate, but you got to remember, y'all just played a lot, too few of removal spells. And so it made me look that much more, you know, crazy in the crime rate. But this season, I assume when we look at the stats again, that's not going to be the same. Y'all are going to be, especially Phil, right? You're going to at least somewhat match me halfway.
Halfway.
Somewhere
draw,
in the middle.
Draw him. What if I don't draw him?
Yeah, well, you
I have
know.
To all forget
or
to
you
put
just
them
put
in there.
Just put more, so many in there that you can only draw them. You know what I mean?
We'll all be the crime lords next year. We'll see.
Yes. That's a good goal, Phil. You could be a. I want you to go for crime lord this season. Oof.
Like with stuff like doppelgang, you mean that crimes?
Committing crimes.
You find a commander that rewards you for committing crimes by making tokens. There has to be something out there that's like whatever you committed
crime. I mean,
there's Gisa, you make a token.
That does literally this, but it's mono black. I guess in mono black, I actually play removal, a lot of edicts and stuff. Maybe edicts. I prefer. I want to get something more than a 1-for-1, even though. The 1-for-1s are the ones that are key in these moments, but yeah, maybe I slot in some more edicts. I do like unexplained absence and stuff. We'll see. I have to bring more removal though, And I mean, I always play two or three counter spells, so I'm good on this front. But I usually keep them to protect my stuff. But I gotta commit some crimes.
Make it like three or four, and we'll see about it. All right, Krim, what is your first resolution for this year? And let's see if you can stick to it this year too.
I'm gonna put low hanging fruit here.
Okay.
I'm gonna put like I can't go and be like, oh, I'm gonna fully change and do all these big drastic things. I'm going with this year, I'm just gonna make all my commander decks Marvel. Making all my commander decks Marvel. That's like, the game plan.
Like,
that's
like Marvel as in like the comics Marvel?
At the helm, I want to make. I realized in the last year, every deck that I've kept are all the Marvel characters. So when inevitably when we get to superheroes, except for Hope, Hope is one of the ones that still cuts through.
Yeah.
I love Hope, and I still love my Alayla deck. Right, these are the only ones that have stayed all the way through. All of them otherwise are all Marvel characters. And so when superheroes hits in the summer, oh baby lord, I don't know what's gonna happen. But if they give me a mill commander, there it is. Goodbye, Hope. I'm sorry. Like I need a mill commander. And I just need a Marvel character for every archetype, and I'm set. Except for I don't imagine that happening with fairies. So it'll be all Marvel except Alayla. Alayla stays. Alayla stays. I'm never breaking my blue black Alayla, by the way. That's the one deck that makes it forever.
Oh, you're gonna get so much support.
Lorwyn
for
also
this.
Gets, yeah. Maybe there's even a new commander out there for various. I don't know.
Perfect. That's maybe we'll see. But that's my goal for this year.
I'm a little bit sad because I don't know. My favorite deck of yours is still Trin and Silvar. I really like Trin and Silvar.
Hold on. There's two asterisks. Hold on. Wait. And keeping Trin and Silvar.
Okay. That's
that
good.
One's still here.
That's good. That's the one I always like playing against the most, at least. I think that one's so cool.
It is a lot
just
of fun.
Just feeding all the humans to your cat is just funny.
It's very accurate of my real cat. So, yeah. Like I plan on doing that. You
that's
know,
what
keeping
all house
Trin and Silvar
to.
And Alayla.
Very nice, very nice. Well, I have a kind of a similar goal where it's focused on my own paper decks. I need to downsize my paper decks. I notice that I have reached 20 commander decks, and that, my friends, is too much. So like whenever a new set comes out, I get excited about updating my decks, and then I see that I have 20 and I'm like, nah. So that's the point where, like, I don't know, I feel like I have too many. And while I don't know, I still like all of them, if I don't play them like more than once a year, I feel like, I don't know, they're kind of wasted space at this point. So that's one of my goals, is just downsizing a little bit. 20 is
are
too
any
much.
Of them on that wall behind you?
They're all there. There's 20. There's actually more than 20. I lied. There's some pre-modern decks that I didn't even count. So I'm actually at like 24 or something like that. But it's like they're all over there. They look nice, I guess. But too many, man. I don't know. What are you guys up to? How many decks do you guys own paper-wise?
10. And I 10? Recently run into the
That's
same
what I'm
question.
Going for.
Do I like once I? If I build a new deck, do I cut one? I don't know. I still
like
all of my decks.
A good number.
Yeah, same.
A reasonable
it also
number.
Fits in a backpack still. But ooh. What if I...
You're bringing 10 decks in a backpack? That's wild.
Cool, I used to do that when the first times I went to like Vegas conventions and stuff. I brought like all the decks in a single backpack, and I always regretted it immediately afterwards. Now I only bring like 5.
Nah, I gotta bring all of them. I gotta play them all over the weekend. That is the rule.
Bill does like grinding them. Krim, do you know what you're up to?
No, I have a closet that's just full. Like it's a rack. It's a silver rack, and there's just decks across the board. Like it's 3 tiers, and all of them are just stacked with decks. And I would say there's maybe about 10 decks, maybe 12 decks on each like tier. So I'm probably somewhere around 30, maybe even 40 decks right now.
Okay.
So that's why, like, in a weird way, me making all my decks Marvel is essentially downsizing, right? So
we don't know.
I guess how much you like the Marvel characters. Yeah, that's fair.
How many Doctor Stranges are we going to be getting this year? I don't know.
I mean, I hope 100, but like the thing here is, I would like to ideally downsize, and that whole rack would free up a lot of space. I would get to put a lot more things in there, but right now they're just all deck boxes.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay, so we're kind of on a similar wavelength for 2026. A little bit of downsizing, potentially for you, definitely for me. Hopefully, we'll see. But Phil, Phil, what's your next resolution for this year?
Okay, my next resolution I already started fulfilling, and that is play more paper magic. And I think 2 days ago, I actually played with my playgroup again, which was like half a year ago or something that I played with them. And it was very fun. And I finally got to play the cards that I ordered. Like, remember in the podcast when I said, oh, I got to order the Purge Protection for my Brewing Chef deck? So I gifted somebody the extra turn in response to them getting attacked for lethal. I didn't even know this was an option.
That's actually a big brain, yeah.
Yeah.
And you get all the upside.
Yeah. So I got to play more paper with my friends, and I already started, and let's keep it going. I'm still gonna go to pre-releases and stuff, but I don't know. I rarely ever play my own decks, but I gotta bring it back.
Yeah, I think that's a good goal. Like I definitely haven't gone to my local game store as much as I wanted to, but it was because like from December to November was so hectic that I never really had an opportunity to do so. But I did lock in for next year or for next week. I'm going to be going again for the first time in like 3 months. So hopefully I'm going to be making that a regular thing again. It's nice to just like see people and play.
Yeah, and I update my decks with every set. And every deck box has like cards in them that I want to put in there since, I think, Edge of Eternities. And yeah, I mean, I gotta do it. There's another point on this list that kind of ties into this, but there's no use in buying all these cards if you don't play them. So I gotta play more paper.
Grim, do you have a local play group? Like outside of Commander Clash, do you jam Commander games pretty regularly?
Oh yeah, I have a few like groups. It's just how far I want to drive. Mm-hmm. So usually I just end up trying to host game nights at like my place and stuff like that.
But I guess it's, yeah.
In the one thing that is nice, though, I mean, I guess I've also gone out a lot more to play paper games that aren't just like, you know, with more randos and whatnot, because I've been trying to play a little more standard in paper to try to get back into RCQs, like cycles, and then also been playing Riftbound. So not Commander related, but that's really what drives me out to like, yeah, I got to get my sweat out, right? So... that is something I want to try to do, but that's like a New Year's resolution for me in general as a Magic player, not as a Commander player.
Just to play more, go out to play.
Yeah, go out more and then just play more competitive events and things like that.
Oh, nice. All right, well, let's hit us with another resolution, actually, Karim, other than...
Oh, well... As I said, competitive, this is the spikiest thing I could probably think of. And it's going to be something I want to do in Commander.
Yeah.
It's to try to get an Ink Shield win. I think for how much we've talked about it, right? I got to find a way, Tomer, between you and me, with how many Orzhov decks that we could probably try to make this season, someone's got to get an Ink Shield win. I don't know if you want to partake in this goal with me, Tomer, but because I
have it on the sheet too, Krim. I had it first.
Okay.
All right, but continue. It's fine.
Okay.
It ties into mine.
Then perfect. All right. Our goal this year, and it's a race to see who gets there first. True. So I just want to see who is able to get the Ink Shield win.
It's so weird. I feel like I just never play Orzhov, and therefore I have no opportunities to put Ink Shield. It's such a rare color combination for me. I guess anything
Oddly
that's not
enough,
is it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I'm always in Dimir. So, like, I'm never able to actually just play black-white. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in, like, anything with black-white, it's, like, 15 color, no cards over 3 mana a week, right?
So, yeah, yeah. It's
like, it's like, ah, man, I can't play this card.
Well, the card is so good, and we have so many, like, skeptical people here in, yes. in Goldfish that, we got to teach them a lesson. I feel like it's a good opportunity to mention it to Seth, at least. I know. I don't think
That's
Richard's a believer
goal.
Either. Yeah.
We got to hit him with it.
We got to get one of them.
We have to at least get one of them. Okay. That's the New Year's resolution. We're going to set our differences aside in game. No matter what slights have happened, if you're telling me that you can get Seth with Ink Shield, that's our goal. That's our the additional like layer on top of the goal. If we get Seth specifically, who's not here to hear this plan, so
he's not gonna watch this.
Yeah.
It's only combat damage, right? Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
It's a fog.
Yeah.
It's a fog. That's a wish
station.
It's a fog. And it makes tokens. You love tokens.
Yeah, I know. I love making them. That's why I don't play it.
All right. Well, that ties in very well to my next resolution, which is I have a little bit of a Clash bucket list for this year. And the top of the list was definitely Ink Shield. So you and me, Krim, we're on this together. The other one I want to really do, like I've kind of obsessed with this card. I played it a little bit in when it was good and standard for that one brief window. But I'm obsessed with it in Commander, and I really want to pull it off on Clash. Doomsday Excruciator, the 6 black pip 6/6 demon that when it enters, each player exiles all but the bottom 6 cards of the library face down, and then at the beginning of your upkeep, draw a card. I just love this idea of this card, just being able to, like, you know, you drop this down, you cast it, everybody only has 6 cards left, the game's gonna end. The game's going to end soon. We're not dragging this out for another hour or so. And it just really puts the pressure on people. And if you could just, if you just tie this with a little bit of milling or exile on top of people's library, like the Marlboro thingy, which is like, it's a swamp cycling creature from Final Fantasy when it ETBs, it exiles the top 3 cards from people's, from your opponent's libraries. Like if you just had those 2 cards in the deck, I feel like this is actually a way to win that's really funny and memorable, and I just really want to get people with it.
It's kind of funny because I think, with, like, I play this card already, just, like, without anything, any mill. I do have it in my mill deck as well, but just playing it, immediately just watching the table kind of shift gears and have to figure out how to close out before they lose is one of my favorites. I would say play it. Try to do it, but the only thing you really need to do is have a sack outlet to your demon.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't
That's
want,
it.
You don't
That's the only thing
on
you
that.
Care about.
I like the card, honestly. Like, I don't mind the game ending. And this is kind of a cool clock that affects everybody. I mean, I guess if you build around it, yeah, you can kill it right away, but it is cool. It is 6 black pips, though.
It is 6 black pips.
With Nykthos, I
guess. It's got to be very heavy in black or have a trusty Urborg. Oh, and then the last 2 that I really want to get, it's going to be less effective because Phil's not a regular on Clash right now, but I guess it's really good if Phil and Seth are ever at the table together again because they both really like drawing lots of cards. Yeah. So I really want to get one of them with Cerebral Vortex or Rune Flare Trap, which are just both like card draw punishers. Cerebral Vortex, it deals damage equal to the number of cards the person has drawn this turn, and Rune Flare Trap just deals damage equal to the number of cards in their hand. Oh my God. I'm just waiting for like Seth to like tap out casting like a Seagate Restoration, and then you just nug them for the Rune Flare Trap.
Seagate,
for
though. Isn't it? Aren't we just drawing like 2 or 3 cards a turn, and that's how it usually ends up? Like,
I don't know. I feel like your top most played cards are like Reliquary Tower. So,
Yeah. Because I like drawing 2 or 3 cards a turn, but it's usually engine related, not just one big spell. I mean, you can play it, have fun.
I'm gonna keep trying. I'll keep trying. But yeah, Phil, what's your next resolution for this year?
All right, my next thing is, they all kind of tie together, except for the play more paper magic, which is just play more magic. Overextend less on the board, I started playing a lot of Wrath Protection, but maybe I shouldn't just spew out my hand every turn as much as I can and leave up. Ooh, there it is again, interaction. Oh my. We'll see if this even happens. I'm not even on Clash right now, so I could be like, ooh, I'm changing my whole playstyle here. I probably won't, but I want elements of just building up an engine and then keep up interaction, maybe crack a clue end of turn or something. Just keep it down a little and not be the threat right away. We'll see if that happens, because if I don't have a Reliquary Tower and I draw all these cards, I'm not going to discard to hand size. I'm just going to cast my stuff then, but I don't want to die to Wrath this easily.
I mean, that does sound scary, because usually the play pattern for field decks is like, either you pop off, you're always going to be the problem, number one.
Yeah.
And then either we can stop, the rest of the table can stop you, and then Phil is sad, or we don't get to stop you, and then you win. So yeah, I feel like if you
can
just
dodge the Wrath.
Yeah. If you play a little bit more conservatively, maybe not be the threat right off the bat, I think that'd be terrifying.
Yeah, would be nice for a change.
Or you're just one running the board wipe, so you don't overextend into your own board wipes.
Okay, come on there. I'm already saying I run some spot removal here. I'm not going to overdo it.
Well, I mean, overextending less is also just good, right? It's just good to have.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not doing this in 1v1 Magic, so I shouldn't. Maybe not do this in Commander as well.
Mm-hmm. Regardless of how much interaction you need to leave up mana for, yada yada yada, just take what you already were doing and now take that from like 60 card or whatever and bring it to Commander.
Yeah,
I think it's a very good philosophy in general. Like, not being the first arch enemy is usually a good position to be in. Being the second scariest person at the table is usually the best position to be in Commander, in my opinion. Like, if you're the first scariest, and everybody is going to dogpile you.
That's kind of the thing.
The person ready to pop off after the arch enemy is disabled is usually the one who is the scariest.
Maybe play some more setup spells. Like, I don't know, something, I guess something like Revel in Riches or something, even though this has this alternate win conditions, but something that
they don't
want to
be the arch enemy, Phil.
Yeah, I know. This is probably a bad example, but I don't know. Treasure map is kind of something that gets better later in the game. Something like this.
The Richard style, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Krim, you got another resolution for us?
Yes. Okay. So I think maybe there's still merit to just shutting up, right? Like, and I know I said at the beginning of the pod that I was like, all right, I'm going to try to maybe like dial it back on the clamps, right? But I think maybe I lied. I'm going to loosen up the clamps. I've already failed that initial resolution I made at the very beginning of the podcast. I think the goal is to actually go back to what I was doing, because I think, I don't know, or maybe no, I should shut up. I can't figure it out. The main thing here is, I feel like there's a lot to do with when you don't say anything, right? When you don't say anything, that leaves you in this area where people don't know what you're doing, but then it's like, okay, depending on the pod, that's good or bad, right? People don't know what you're doing, then they're more likely to kill you. Or maybe they don't know what you're doing, so they assume you're doing nothing. So then they leave you alone. So I think this season, I will actually try to just have nothing. Have nothing to say. Let you all like do whatever it is that you're gonna do. Not in play. In play, I'll have the thing, but in verbally, in talking and all of that, I'm just not gonna say a thing. I gotta try an episode where I just speak as much as I need to.
That would be very interesting to see. I kind of feel like it would be interesting if we all kind of reduce the amount of, as the kids say, yapping by like 20% or something, you know, like,
but I feel like
the politics gets too crazy when it's like, you know, like you're politicking over like, you're hitting me for 2 damage. It's like, it's 2 damage. Do we really need to have like a big debate over like getting smacked for like a little piddly amount, you know?
I think actually, hold on. But then it's like, do I want that? Right? Because I feel like half the fun of the commander, like gameplay, is the yapping.
It is.
And so, and I'm talking about not just like, yo, what did you do this weekend? Like, I'm talking like, hey, oh, you know, some of it is like deflecting the blame and moving things around. Like, that's a lot of the fun. And yeah, maybe it's one or two damage. But the main thing here is that one or two damage goes a long way. It kind of also, sometimes when you like shift the narrative of what is going on, or you, like sometimes one thing I'll do is I will tell you that objectively, this is the most threatening thing. Yes, on board. That is correct. Yes. Threat assessment says this is correct, but that's because I want you to focus over there. And so I like to reinforce that. And I don't know. I think it's a lot of the fun in Commander, whereas like I can't do that in 1v1, right? So maybe I'm already resolution.
No, Crims.
It's lasted a whole 30 minutes.
No, you're too strong when you gaslight. You're too strong at it.
Oh man. I don't know. Like I guess like maybe I need to figure out like a different way of politicking, right? Because I know y'all are like, you know the antics, right? You know the antics, but the main thing is you also know that I'm not wrong. Like, in there, like, when I point some things out, like, hey, that's objectively the most powerful thing.
Sometimes.
That's it. And then I leave. And then
sometimes.
I dip off. Ah, come on. You know it's right.
Sometimes you know that you are the threats, but because you have
but
something
I never
in
say
hand.
Anything then.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I never say anything then.
I know. The gaslighting is so good with you guys. I think that's why it was so effective last year or last season, because we weren't prepared for it. And the difference between then and now is that we know every single time you gaslight and you're ready with the politics, we're like thinking like, oh, 52% win rate last season. Yeah. It just keeps like flashing up 52% win rate. He wins half the games. We have like the memento tattoos. It's like, don't believe his lies. Like,
yeah.
I have the sticky tacks. But yes, I feel like that is probably like one of the most unique aspects of Commander. And it's a really interesting aspect of it. And some people are very, very good at it, like Krim. And it's very, very effective, especially if you're at a table that you don't play with super frequently. You will just dominate. I feel like Krim's win rate, like in like a rando table, is probably like 80% or something. If he wants to win,
I am not going to disclose that information. But I would say that I have had a successful run of things. Usually,
it's also interesting with Phil too. It's like I feel like Phil. He has anti-politics sometimes, where he'll just be like, he'll be the threat. He won't even, not necessarily the biggest threat, but he'll be doing something scary and he'll be like, you guys gotta stop me. I'm going off. Next turn's going to be crazy. And it's like, okay, well,
yeah, I know.
50-50 on whether
helping,
or not we should stop Phil. But now we're like 100%. Do you think you'd be ever changing that, Phil? Are you gonna? Are
probably
you
not. No.
No.
I'm not gonna say.
That's fair.
I don't know if anything. I don't know.
I mean,
look
if,
over
if
there.
It's on board. Yeah.
That's fair. Okay. Well, kind of similar for me, resolution wise. I'm gonna try to whine less. I have an issue where sometimes I get salty. Sometimes I whine a little bit too much in a game. And most of it, I want to say, is being strategic, where it is a form of politics. Where if I whine, I'm trying to counteract gaslighting. That's where I try to do it. I try to be getting very defensive if people are aiming the ire of the table against me. I'll try to whine my way out of it. Hopefully justified. But either way, whining can be annoying very easily. And I think I cross that line sometimes, where it's just a little bit annoying and not
the
a very
wine
fun.
Line.
The wine line gets crossed, and it's not the fun drinky type. And yeah, I wanna just whine a lot less, so that the YouTube comment section will never say, "Hey, that Tomer guy whined a lot this game." I want those comments
By
to disappear.
That, they're just gonna say it more now.
I wanted to be like, Tomer, he needs to lay off the wine because he's like playing drunken Commander Clash, not the whiny wine, you know?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like, is it really whining or is it just like, hey, I don't, like, there's literally anything else on the board right now. Is that
most
whining?
Of it is like, I'm trying to
it's
be defensive.
Some justified.
And sometimes
whining,
I'm
yeah.
trying to counteract because I'm not very, I don't know if I'm the best at like, what's it called? What's it called when you're trying to make the focus go away from you? That word.
I mean,
deflecting.
Deflecting. Sometimes I'm not the best at deflecting, but I'm very, like, I'm very defensive when I'm being deflected onto, and then I'm trying to, like, whoa, try to Una reverse you, but then it comes off as whiny. So, but that's what I'm trying to go for, is basically. But I need to, maybe I just need to be better at deflecting. I just need to follow Krim's style of play more often to see.
I think Rich is also, in a way. Yeah,
Rich is very good at it. Also, George, very good.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I mean, yeah, like, yeah.
My next thing is, which, oh, that's, the, it all ties together. I have to buy less cards. Maybe, I mean, if I play a lot of Commander, it kind of justifies updating my decks with every set. But maybe chill on the sealed product. It's not even like I buy too much, but I got dumb stuff. I don't think I opened a single great booster this year. Sometimes I make shorts. I guess in Edge of Eternities, I opened some shock lands, which were like a... They were good for value, I guess play value. But I didn't open anything great. Hey, maybe that's the thing. Maybe buy less sealed product. I already go to pre-release every set. And then sometimes Wizards is nice enough to send me something. And maybe that should just be it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I maybe just buy singles before an event or something. When the high prices from release have cooled down. Yeah, I need to either play way more to justify it or not update every release. Every time after pre-release, I come home and I get to ordering.
I have a question on that, actually. Do either of you know how much you spent in a given year? Like in 2025, do you have like do you log down?
No.
How much you've spent on Magic products throughout the year.
So here in Europe,
because I did, and then I stopped doing it.
You don't need to stop doing this because I'm maybe not sealed product if you buy it in your LGS, but in Europe, you are reliant on card market, and they give you like a summary. Don't click on it. It was shocking. It's very bad, actually. The last year, I don't even want to.
Should a store be giving you an end of year wrapped?
Like wrapped.
It feels like
you spent $25,000 on Magic
you
cards.
You really like buying foil cards. Here's how much you spent. No. Don't tell me that.
You bought a collector booster box. You lost $500.
Yeah. I don't want that. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't really track it. But the good news is that I don't track sealed product because I don't buy sealed product. Most of the time, I just buy singles, right? The sealed I buy is like I go out to a pre-release that kit. And if it's a set I really like care about, then maybe, right? Like I save up for one set. Everything else is all singles.
Mm.
So I don't actually spend a ton on sealed product throughout the year. And then the best part is I also just kind of wait. Right, there's a few cards I may speculate on, like, oh, this probably will spike, so I should buy this now. But then other than that, I wait until everything is cheaper, right? And then I buy it then.
Yeah, I don't buy any, like, I try not to buy much, like, sealed product. I think I bought, like, three packs. Two were gifts to Rodrigo, and then one was a gift for myself when I had some good news in November or in December. And then I regretted buying it for myself immediately when I opened it. So, but definitely spend way too much on singles. I know that. Thanks, Card Market, because it tells you how much you spent, and it is way too much.
Yep.
Maybe if I have less decks, I will.
Oh yeah, with 20 decks, it's even worse.
I guess it ties in poorly to what my next thing was going to be, though. But yeah, we'll get to that soon. Krim, tell me what else you got.
So I think one other thing I want to try to work on this year is, like, this is not so much a commander, like, I guess, New Year's resolution, though, because
magic
I do
resolution.
Really, it's more of like magic resolution, right? Like, I want to complete my Onslaught set. That was a goal I had last year, a foil Onslaught set for my collection. But then upon that declaration, and then, you know, pulling out the cards and everything, I was like, oh, cool, this is going swimmingly.
Yeah.
I forgot that the fetch lands are in there.
Oh.
And then I'm like, oh, my God.
That's
okay.
Like 90% of the cost.
Exactly.
Maybe more.
And then you know what's the worst part about this, too? Like, if it isn't the $1,000, like, Polluted Delta, I mean, I don't have to get it near mint. I'm okay with, like, heavily played, so that's, like, $800, but that's still $800, right? And then the cards that are cheap, no one carries.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, is it Gangrenous Goliath? I don't know if you remember that card. I need that card. I need a few of the random clerics in white. And these are all like 25-cent foils.
Oh.
But no one carries them because no one keeps it in stock. Why would they, right?
Yeah.
Like, you showed me your Lightning Rift in foil, the non-promo. I have my F&M promo one still. But, like, you have the basic one where I don't actually have that. Mm-hmm. And I have to look for that, and no one carries it. It's not expensive.
Well, you're getting it for free when you visit in Paris.
Oh.
But yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, then there it is. Then never mind. That's been answered. But the otherwise, it's like Gangrenous Goliath. I don't even know if anyone has that card.
Yeah. Let me check.
Yes.
It is highly unplayable, even in the cleric deck.
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere in Europe you'll get lucky, but.
I'd like to believe that, but, like, there's just so many things that are, like, kind of no one keeps track of. And the ones that they do are, like, Biorhythm and all the ones that are, like, $1 million, right? Like, sure, everybody has that. But when I roll up and ask you, like, hey, do you by chance have, like, I don't know, Custody Battle? How about that? No? Okay, don't worry about
what
it.
What is this?
I don't know what the card is.
Yeah, see, like, y'all gotta look for this, and it's not looking great, right?
Hold up.
To be honest, I can probably bring you a Gangrenous Goliath to Vegas this year, because some sellers that I usually order from have it in store.
Foil English?
Give us a list.
Woo!
Post your list.
Yeah, give us a list
see,
and maybe I can find some stuff.
See it in Europe.
It's $3. It's fine.
Yeah.
If you guys also happen to have a foil Polluted Delta, though,
yeah,
like, I won't say no. How about this? We'll meet in the middle. How about a Wooded Foothills in foil? Or
I mean, maybe we could set up some sort of trade, I guess. Well, I don't have one. But if I did have one, we could set up a trade, because I also have a resolution that's very expensive. I want to trade up to Abu Duels. And this kind of goes with the downsizing of the paper decks, you see. If I stop having so many decks that all are in, like, the $200 range, then maybe I could get some more Abu Duels. I only have one.
Are you only trying to trade? Is that the goal? Like, to literally trade
mostly,
your way to them?
Mostly. I want to get... Well, like, I want to sell my cards... And then use that money for the Abu Duels, you know, like, or trade up to them. But basically, it's very easy for me to, like, just sell cards and then, you know, card market again. But, just sell off the cards and then use that money, not to be a responsible adult and, like, put it in savings. No. I want to put it in duels. Because my Changeling deck, I want to finish blinging out the Changeling deck. And I see that Abu Duels are kind of important if I want to fully bling out my baby Changeling deck, especially with Lorwyn Eclipse coming out and, you know, more Changelings coming out and everything. So I have a plateau. I just need the rest. So I'm sure it won't be too expensive.
Sure. You got the most important one for this.
I got rid of all of mine.
Oh.
This is going to sound blasphemous, but, like, I feel... This was a recent thing I did, because I know that it is financially, like, if you were to be like, oh, finance guy, then like, I think it is incorrect for me to get rid of them, but I do think at some point it's too much of a hassle to even if I ever wanted to move. And with the coming year, there are more things that I think I want in the Marvel set than I care about. Like, in a, I want to be able to save up all of this and immediately try to find like whatever stone comes out.
Yeah.
Because that to me matters more than duels.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because like duels, like I don't play with them because I just have no reason to. They sit in a binder and I don't exactly get a lot of emotional joy from them. So I actually shipped a lot of my reserve list. So yeah, that's, I did the opposite route, and I wish you had told me this before I did that, Tomer.
Well, I don't have any polluted deltas to give you. I'm sorry.
Oh, well then, Tomer, what are you?
But yeah, that's a long-term goal. I know. Like, if you're not using them, I mean, you're just using them as an investment, it's still $0 until you actually sell them, right? Like,
yeah.
So,
and like, to me, investments in card games aren't a thing. So, like, I just don't really care to keep them, right? Like, I'd want to do something that brings me joy, and, like, I can maybe now trade those and maybe go get, like, some of the fetches. But, like, really, it's only the blue duels that are worth anything. It's not like my duels are worth, like, $1 billion or anything. They were all, like, pretty beat up. So I can either get one polluted delta or something new and cool. So I'm saving it for something new.
I mean, there's a lot of Marvel coming out soon, so
yeah, baby.
You gotta be ready, boy.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, hit us up with another, maybe one more round of resolutions if we got any.
I don't have any explicit resolutions.
Okay.
Maybe I don't know. On the spot, it's already gonna be hard enough to play more removal and not to buy any cards. Although I did check card market.
You just need to find removal that makes really tokens, and then you're so good. There has to be.
I mean, there is, but it's overpriced. Then, nah. Although there is, I guess, Azure's Predation. That's
Azure's Predation is
tokens.
Good. Yeah, that's a good one.
Nah, maybe don't play as homogenized decks. Like, if I play blue, there's a very high chance there's a Fairy Artisan in there and stuff. I'm not going to promise this, though. I play them because they're fun, especially like Machine God's Effigy or something. It's such a generically cool card. It's just like saying, oh, I'm not going to play Nature's Law or something anymore. But I get that people have been complaining about, I mean, Spring Heart Nantuka as well. I don't know. They're all pretty good. I don't know.
They do be good cards.
It's enough for me if I play more.
Maybe you just like build like a mono red deck. Maybe not specifically avoiding staples, but like finding a color that you typically don't get to run off cards for, and then building a token deck out of it or something.
Yeah, maybe once I'm back on Clash.
Yeah,
I gotta play like, mono red one time.
Mono red token deck or something. I'm sure you could pull it off.
Maybe that's a cool challenge. Yeah,
it's gonna be sick.
It's crackle.
There has to be something out there. That'll be, oh my god, it's Kiki Jiki makes tokens.
Ooh, yeah. Copies as well.
Yeah.
My favorites.
All right, sweet. Krim, what's one last resolution for you? What thing you're hoping to achieve 2026?
You know, when I look at my whole Commander collection, right, and like all the cards there, I think a goal I want to try to do is, I don't know, is it, I want to figure out, I need to figure out like what I'm going to do when it comes to my love for collecting foreign cards.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the problem is that I have these foreign cards that I play in Commander. And then it's like, so like, do I have to now get English versions of them? Because like I lend decks out all the time. Right. And not everyone's going to know that this is,
that's hard,
you know, polluted Delta or what's, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? And
with
so,
fetches, you could see it. I have the same
maybe
problem
with fetches.
With some cards, yeah.
Yeah, but if there's like a card that's like, it only fits in this deck and it's like not a language and you're handing it to somebody else, then I could see it being annoying for that person. But it's so corner case, like that should be fine, right?
Exactly, right? So, like, I haven't figured out what I want to do, but that is something I thought about. Like, should I make it so that if I lend these decks out, my friends can play them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, like, it's been very simple. Friends are just like, what is this? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I'll tell you what that is. But, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of right now off the top of my head, really, because resolutions-wise, I think that no matter what I try to do, when every year I always try to say, I'm going to play this archetype, but I fail that resolution because these archetypes don't appeal to me, right? Like, they just flat out, I learned real quickly this past year and all the years prior that I just know what I like playing. And my thing is, when I try to adventure out of that, like, yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. But for something I'm doing on my off time, I just want to do more of that, right? So, like, I have no issue having 10 mill decks and 20 control decks and, like, 2 aggro decks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is just what's fun for me.
Oh, and, yeah. I have, yeah. Like, most right? of mine, like, my resolutions are for Clash as well. Like, I'm not going to stop playing just ridiculous ramp and token decks in my paper decks just because, mm-hmm. I don't know, nobody's... I guess people are complaining, but I'm also complaining about my friends playing stacks. So not going to happen. If they like doing it, sure.
I think it's also good
I
to
am
just...
complaining, yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily bad to be like, especially as like a content creator perspective, to have an archetype that you're known for, having a style of play that you're known for. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, especially because like Commander is a multiplayer format. It's not like we're all playing mill mirrors every single week, although we had a mill episode and it's funny. But yeah, like I don't think that's necessarily bad. So just find an archetype or a play style that you like and sticking to it. I think all of us have played at least for multiple years now, fairly regularly, and we got to try out so many different styles of play, so many commanders and stuff. We're bound to find eventually something that resonates with us more than the other things, and, you know, kind of sticking to it. Stick to what you like after a while. We've tried the entire menu at the restaurant. We yeah. found the things that we like the most. And guess what? We're not going to keep just rotating through the menu after we've tasted everything. We stick to what you like. I think that's perfectly reasonable. Yeah.
That's a good
and
way
I,
to phrase
I,
it,
I
yeah.
failed also on the aggro thing, too. Like, I said I was going to play less aggro. Well, it turns out I love playing aggro. So it's like, well, yeah, I'm going to keep making aggro decks and combo killing at the end, too, with Kiki combo or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like it. It's
game
fun.
Game's got to end. Yeah.
Game's got to end. Yeah. All right, I have one last thing I wanted to do, and I do want to stick to it, and I will try my best. We'll see what the season stats if I actually accomplish it. But I want to play more budget brews. Commander Clash is kind of hard sometimes when we have like very crazy episode restrictions, like first to like a 3,000 life wins or something like that. Where like, yeah, I have to run certain cards, and it's going to kind of I have to ignore the budget in order to pull it off. But when we have looser restrictions, like if we're doing like Avatar Week or we're doing Lore and Eclipse and stuff, I want to bring more budget brews because every single time I get like feedback from people, one of my favorite comments that I get are like people being like, hey, I'm pretty strapped on cash and I want to build a new deck. And this budget brew that you built is amazing. I built it. I had a great time with it. Like that always is like the greatest thing I could hear. That I can help people who are like, you know, they don't have a huge budget and they want to try out a new deck. And I can kind of give them at least, you know, a model to look at and build their own version of based on that. So, yeah, I want to offer that a little bit more often. And I definitely have been slacking in the past. But this time, this season, we shall see in the end. Not every single episode, but sometimes.
What you just said kind of just made me think about something that I maybe want to try, and maybe it'll kind of piggyback off of my last point on like my resolution of like, okay, well, I'm always trying to shy away from my archetypes, but what if I built a control version of like elves? What is the control
I mean,
elves deck?
Oh my god, that would be
now
sick.
Now with Blight, you can probably Blight down
well,
the
Well, Blight
table.
Only targets your stuff. Right, like when you're putting counters on your stuff, but
I mean,
like
I guess
it would
you could
be
Blight the opponent. Aren't they cards that blight the opponent.
Maybe there is.
This is like target opponent blights or something. I don't know, maybe.
Sure.
Or moving counters. This card said like move counters from one thing to another thing.
Maybe that's my goal, right? Because you're going to try to play more budget. Maybe I just try to build a goblin. Every deck, I try to build a control version of it.
That'd be funny.
I try to build control goblins. I try to build control. I don't know. Except for on control week. Then I play aggro. Right? Yeah. But imagine it would be kind of funny.
Yeah. Imagine making like goblins that make it mill goblins. Or
yeah,
like that.
Mill goblins, right? Or any of those.
Yeah. That'd be great. I would like to see it. And like Phil could be like, I take a thing, I don't know, what is it, like, make it equipments, but make it tokens, token equipments.
How
does he do it? We never know. But yeah, that would be fun. And then we kind of stick to what we like, but we give unique twists to very, very well-established archetypes and take them in a way.
Yeah, it's time to shake it up. Like, elves, all that excess mana, that's got to lead to one good control spell, right?
I feel like this is a great pitch for a future Commander Clash episode. Like, honestly, we take very, very well-established archetypes and we just build them entirely differently. I don't know, elf control, goblin mill, whatever. Mm-hmm. Equipment tokens. I don't know.
That's a good. We should probably write this down, and there's probably going to be comments
in the comment
about
section. This. Yes. Oh, it's speaking of. Oh my God! I don't know how we're going to put this in. Maybe we have to edit it in. But I forgot the comment of the week.
Oh
so
my
I'm
God!
Going to do it now because I had a window for it. So I didn't forget. I just forgot until now. So better late than never. Comment of last week, we were talking about best and worst of Commander in 2025. Top comment was at some Minecraft player 8557. Still waiting on Phyrexian Arena tier list.
Right. I kind of forgot about this.
Well, we're
but
still getting
also,
to it.
Juliet, I mean, it's... Yeah.
Is it clickable? We don't know.
That's I guess,
we'll get back to you on it.
It's such a, like, for established players, it makes sense to say, oh yeah, for Phyrexian Arena style cards, you know, like something is a wood elves or something, like a grizzly bear. But I don't know. We find a
it
way
to very do specific, but we might
way
be
more
able
specific,
to spin it.
Yeah.
Maybe the next comment of the week has to be like
an arena.
The most clickbait title out of Phyrexian Arena tier list. Give us that. That will be the next step. All right. I think we have plenty of resolutions to stew on. I can't wait until exactly next year when we get to look at our resolutions from this year and see
zero crimes.
How well we did. Yeah. But Ink Shield, oh my God. If we got a full year on Commander Clash and not Ink Shield Seth, I'm going to be very disappointed in this. That's the only one
someone,
I care about.
Someone just has to Ink
so
Shield.
Someone,
right?
Someone
like
has
point,
to.
The Ink Shield W is all I'm asking for. Maybe not even a W. I think an Ink Shield remove one player is funny.
And it has to be Seth. I mean, he's got to come.
Ideally.
It could be anybody, but really, it should be Seth. All right. And with that, friends, we are done this podcast. Let's see how those resolutions go. And until next time, friends.
Wait, you gotta tell. We gotta see in the comments what are your resolutions, because there's probably a lot of good resolutions that we have missed. I guess.
Let us know in the comment section.
Yep.
The resolutions. All right. And now, see ya. Bye.
See ya.